Anyway, this morning is a little bit different in that there won't be a sermon per se, but instead a picture. Not a motion picture, so I'm sorry to disappoint, there won't be popcorn this morning, but a picture. I'll explain. If you're new to First Baptist, my name is Brad Johnson, and I am part of the elder team here at First Baptist Church of Golden. And if you are an elder, I would like to ask you to stand, because this is our team. So come on, Dupesh and Pastor Lynn, Juan Carlos, Kenny, Trey. Sam is not here this morning. So this is your elder team, and thank you, gentlemen. And I'm a part of that team, and proud and humbled to be a part of that team. And if you remember that the first weekend in January, we followed the example of Jesus, where he often took his disciples away from kind of the demands of life and just got away in a kind of a quiet place and sought the Father and prayed. And so we took a retreat. We got away and took a retreat that first weekend in January. And really, it had two purposes. One was to build us as a team, because we're a new group together. And the second one was to seek the Father and to ask him for our marching orders as a church. And it was a rich time of fellowship and learning. And I think you're all looking at that and not at me. What you're seeing up on the screen are pictures that Juan Carlos took of the weekend, in which we had a lot of these big post-it notes and different things as we worked together through the weekend. And so on behalf of the elders this morning, we are going to share with you the picture of the church, First Baptist, that we believe that God has given us. And we also want to thank you for your prayers, because we felt like the Lord did meet us there and spoke to us and guided us throughout the weekend. It was a rich time of fellowship. The meals, everything was planned so that we would make the most of our time. In the meals, we would even take turns and ask a question that we would then go around and share. And there were some very fascinating stories, of which some I can't share with you all. There's a lot of laughter, and you can imagine with the yahoos that just stood. There's a lot of laughter, and there were some tears as well, as we became very vulnerable with one another and just opened up our lives and kind of let down the walls a little bit and let one another come in closer as a team. And so it was a very rich time of fellowship and sensing that God did meet us there that weekend. The process began when we gathered on a Friday evening with Pastor Lynn sharing from Psalms 90, verse 17, where it says, "May we find favor in your sight, O God, and that you would establish the work of our hands." Yes, establish the work of our hands. And then from there, we all went to separate places in the large house in which we were meeting, and we just spent time in silence and in prayer, listening to the Lord. And that's how we started off the weekend. We came back together from that and then shared our impressions of what we felt like God was saying to us as we began. And then Dupesh began to lead us through a series of exercises in exploring where we are at as a church and where we believe God is leading us. Now, Dupesh is very good at this, and I didn't realize how much experience he'd had. He's done this for multiple businesses and corporations and organizations over the years, and he's very masterful at engaging our experiences and our opinions and wrestling with things and guiding us through for the whole weekend. And so I was very impressed with his mastery in that. But he started us off by giving us a blank piece of paper and colored pencils. This is a high-tech weekend retreat. But what he did is he said, "I want you to start with this. I want you to draw a picture of where you believe First Baptist will be in 3 to 5 years. What is your vision of what you want to see First Baptist become in 3 to 5 years? And then he let us go, and just for 20 minutes, we each individually kind of drew our pictures on a paper, and then it was just eye-opening. After we'd done that, we came and we began to put them on the log walls of the cabin we were at, and to see the similarities in pictures, even though there were nuances based upon people's different perspectives and emphasis, but there was a unity of vision in those pictures, and humbling and exciting all at the same time to look at that and to say, we have a similar vision that we believe God is beginning to give us. And so he led us through strategic planning. And if you've ever been there as in a corporation or organization, you kind of know how it goes. A lot of exercises. You do what we call a SWOT, which is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. We wrestled with the vision and mission statements, and literally word by word, as we tried to craft that and understand that. We began to kind of come up with a plan and objectives and timelines and all of that. And just to say, it was a wrestling of things. I mean, we just worked. It was mentally and spiritually exhausting as we came and we just wrestled together with this picture that we feel like God is beginning to clarify for us. This is where we're going to go as a church. And how do we get there? Where are we at now? And we literally would sometimes just, we'd be wrestling on one word and just wrestling with it. And the thing that struck me over the weekend was that when we got to these places where sometimes we hit maybe a roadblock or we just seemed to get bogged down or there was a difference of opinion, somebody would just stop and say, we need to pray. We just need to pray. And the weekend was just bathed in prayer, just spontaneous, just like, stop. Let's just pray. Let's listen. What is God telling us? What is God showing us? If you were to be given a white piece of paper, what would be your picture? What is your vision of First Baptist in 3 to 5 years from where we're at now? It is this vision, this picture that we want to share with you this morning. It's a picture of the future, our future as a church. And it's not just the elders' future, but all of us together, because it's not the vision that God has just given us. It's a vision in which we're all to be involved together. And so I want to invite you, before Pastor Lynn comes and begins to kind of paint this picture for you, of this vision that we believe God is giving us as to where he's leading us as a church, I want you to pray and say, Jesus, as Lynn comes and shares this picture with us, what does that mean for me? And to listen that it's not just pastor's words, but it's the words of Christ coming and saying, this is how you're to be a part of this picture and where he's leading us. So will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, your name as we praise today is wonderful. What a Savior. We pray the words of Jesus that your will would be done here at First Baptist on earth as it is in heaven. We don't want to try and do things in our own strength. We want to follow you and allow you to make us fishers of men. I pray the prayer of Psalms 90, verse 17. That we might find favor in your sight, O God, and that you would establish the work of our hands at First Baptist Church of Golden. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands, and may we flourish and grow and multiply into a large tree out of a small seed. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Imagine with me, as you drive onto the campus, you park near a friend, you hug, you walk to the building together, and while you're doing it, you discuss your week. And then imagine as you come inside the building where First Baptist Church of Golden meets, you're greeted at the door with a warm handshake, a big smile, and a hearty welcome. The sound of the rhythmic footsteps of children running and hearty laughter of people engaged in conversation meets you as you continue further into the room. You see radiant faces of young and older gathered in circles, holding hands, praying for one another. The smell of fresh, hot coffee wafts through the air. Hot chocolate and snacks draw you in further, and you see people who are poring over the devotionals that they are looking forward to getting into during the week. Then the vibration in the floor grows as a worship team begins to lead the congregation in song. Songs that cause an eruption of eclectic expressions of praise. Some people raise their hands. Some people clap their hands, or as in the case of a few minutes ago, two of us did. Some close their eyes. Some kneel. Others sway. As people from many nations and tongues come together under the banner of the same God that we all worship, and we lift up in united praise because he is worthy. You hurry to keep up with your youngest child who drags you because they can't wait to get to kids zone. Your eldest goes off and meets with the other teenagers for a Bible study, and a smile just wraps your face. And you're thanking God that he has given the opportunity for your children to have this sort of investment in their lives to draw them closer to the Lord. As you hurry back to join in worship, you see the room on your left that in a short time will be filled with people from every tribe and tongue and nation from around the globe who are pulled together for two reasons. First, some are seeking to know Jesus, and others come together in their united love and praise and worship for him, of him. And then, as you get near to the sanctuary, you can't help but begin to tap your feet and raise your arms, looking forward to joining your spouse who is on her knees in the presence of an awesome God whose very presence is filling the room. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus. It has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus. It has saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. As you enter the sanctuary, you sing loud. You sing loud because there's loud and vibrant singing happening. And you listen in amazement as your voice melds with the hundreds of other voices that are singing in the room. And you are wrapped in the awe of a God who is so far above us that there's no reason that we could know him, no way we could know him, except that he humbled himself. That thought enraptures your soul. And you sing even louder. You're filled with gratitude for all that Jesus has given you. You're filled with anticipation for all that Jesus has in store for you, not just this week and today, but for the future. And again, Thank you, Jesus. And then encouraging and exhorting words are preached that enhance your excitement and anticipation of the great and mighty things that God has done and will do. And then, encouraged by the teaching from God's Word, you head to your life class, where you know that you're going to enjoy more teaching, but on your way, you run across friend after friend, you hug, you shake hands, you share a conversation, you pray with your friends. Sunday morning is a highlight of the week for you. And then in life class, you learn about God's invitation to reason with Him, to wrestle with what the Scriptures have to say so that you can understand how they apply to your life and how they help you live out your faith in your day-to-day world and in the marketplace. In your heart, you sense the Holy Spirit nudge you to talk to your colleague whom you have come to know very well. And you are excited with anticipation, knowing that the Holy Spirit Himself will guide that conversation. Your appreciation for the good teaching, the quality of leadership you've received, continues to grow. And you decide to pray about signing up for the leadership training that'll be happening in March. It's time to head home, but you linger, as does everyone else. You know you have a Bible study tomorrow evening, and so you'll be back soon. Later in the week, you look forward to joining your D group in a home. You enjoy the intimate time of prayer and study of God's Word and the sweet time of fellowship over a meal. You appreciate the emphasis on bells because you're experiencing God at work through you in the lives of your friends and your neighbors and your colleagues as you have blessed them and you've eaten with them. It's becoming your habit to listen to the Holy Spirit so that you know what He wants you to say and how He wants you to behave. You are also developing the habit of learning Christ and the things that you're learning from Him. You're inviting Him to apply to your life so that you're actually allowing Him to live His life through you. And you even appreciate the weekly reminder that every single day of our lives, we are sent by God into a world who is desperate for the message that only a follower of Jesus has, the message of the gospel, that there's hope in Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the only source of life now and in eternity. You realize that you're beginning to anticipate each day, excited for the opportunities that God is going to give you to bless somebody, to love somebody, to share Jesus with them. You look forward to Friday evening when you'll gather together with other believers and you will pray with them. They'll share their concerns and their needs with you. They'll share the people that they're sharing their faith or praying for opportunities anyway to share their faith with. And you'll take that time and you'll enjoy that time together. You remember that on Wednesday, a few of you are going to get together and walk the streets of Golden, praying over the homes in the area, inviting God to give you an opportunity to share a tract called Why Jesus with anyone that you come into contact with, praying for an opportunity to possibly invite someone to come to church. All of this is causing your discipleship to be enriched and for it to be filled with joy, not a drudgery. With thanksgiving in your heart and on your lips, you walk out with anticipation of what God is going to do in you and through you, not just this week, but in the months and the years to come. That's the picture That's what we see happening at First Baptist Church of Golden over the next 3 to 5 years. Here's the thing, that anything that's alive and healthy will grow. As a congregation, we are experiencing growth. Even in the midst of profound loss and transition, our international ministry is still growing. It's still thriving. MOPS is growing. Awanas is thriving and going strong. God is working in so many different ways. Our college ministry is thriving and growing strong. And God is using this church in so many ways. You've probably noticed over the last year or so, well, more than that probably, our band continues to grow as God blesses us with people from all over the globe who are beginning to join our team. And we're beginning to see God do some really cool things for us. Our tech team has grown by leaps and bounds. Now, we still need bodies back there, but the structure is all in place to cause us to be able to be more effective than we've been in the years gone by in communicating both here and online. God is working. We are experiencing blessing and growth. And you noticed that our elder team has doubled this year, and we are praising God for these godly men. Tim and I were talking earlier today, and Tim has been one of our elders for many, many years. He's not on the team currently, but we're going to drag him back in one of these days. And we were both commenting how we were only able to do what we can do right now because of the foundation that we laid under his leadership. God is blessing. God is growing. But we believe that God is calling us to grow more. We believe that God wants this congregation to flourish. Now, I will tell you this. I would love to see this room filled many times over. But this is not about numbers. But as long as there's one lost person that you know and that I know in this community, or where we work or live, as long as there's one lost person, then the church needs to have one added to it. It's not about numbers. It's about lost souls. It's about us recognizing that God gives each and every one of us an opportunity to have influence in someone's life. You have contact with people that I will never know. And even if you introduce me to them, you have an inroad into their life that I'll never have. And so you and I get to participate together to lead these people to Jesus. And that's what we are about. That's what we want to do. So as long as there is one lost person, the church needs to grow by one. And so we believe that God wants to cause growth to happen. But it's not growth starting from ground zero. It's growth building on top of what God has already been doing. Anytime someone comes in as a new leader of a ministry, my prayer is always, God, give us somebody who can take this ministry to the next level. Give us somebody that can cause this ministry to thrive and to flourish in a way that it hasn't yet. Because the other person that came before built a strong foundation. And we want to build on that. And we want to see God use us in incredible ways. We see God calling us to build on what he's already been doing. Well, this was something Paul was familiar with. He said this to the believers in Thessalonica. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. He'd just been talking about something that they'd been doing and encouraging the brothers in Macedonia with. And they says, but we urge you, brothers, to do this and more and more. So we take what God has laid the foundation of and we build on it and we grow together. Some of what we as elders believe God has for us in this year is a little bit foreign from our current experience. The thing is, we won't see any kind of change overnight. And we certainly won't see any kind of change unless we are willing to do some work with it, to try some new things, to make room in our lives, in our daily schedules, in our busy lives, to try something new, to bring this vision to reality. And I believe that we as a church are up to the task. After lots of prayer and discussion and endless rounds of editing, the elders have crafted a vision statement. Now, many of you know that for me, the vision of our church has been that we would be a force for God's grace in Golden and beyond by making disciples of Jesus. That's what I've been. So for me, as we went through this process, I'm thinking, wow, where are we going to end up? I mean, I really like that. But what we have to do whenever we are willing to look for change is we've got to be willing to let go of what we think. Even though it was a God-given thing, because God, as Isaiah said, oftentimes is doing a new thing. And God is doing something new. And we're inviting you to get in on the ground level with this. So as I go through this, I want to let you know that at the end, there's going to be a card that the ushers are going to pass out, and everyone's going to have an opportunity to say, yeah, I buy into this, and here are some things that I'm willing or interested in being involved in. Okay, so here's our vision. Would you read this with me? By God's grace and for His glory, we desire to be a growing community of engaged worshipers and equipped leaders who live and share the gospel in Golden and beyond. Now, our vision is a picture, as Brad said, of the reality we believe God wants to grow at First Baptist. But to make it practical, we also came up with a mission statement that kind of takes those things and coalesces them down. And so for the next year, maybe a little longer, but at least for the next year, we're going to focus on this mission. We will develop leaders to train the saints to cultivate a lifestyle of worship and to share their faith. We will develop leaders to train the saints. Look to the person next to you and say, you're a saint. Now, why did we pick that Bible word, that churchy word? Because I think we forget that we're saints. When Jesus came into your life, the Holy Spirit cleaned you. You stand before Him right now in the righteousness of Christ, and He calls you saints. You don't believe it? Read the book of 1 Corinthians. The Corinthians were messed up. They had sin issues that you and I would blush over. And you know what Paul called them? Saints. We're saints. Saint doesn't mean perfect. Saint means bought by the blood of Jesus. You are a saint. And God wants to develop you to cultivate a lifestyle of worship and sharing your faith. And that's what we are going to focus ourselves on over this next year in particular. There are four broad components that make up our vision, to which the elders will give special focus in 2024. Now, the elders are going to lead the charge here, but we're going to invite all of you to be involved in it. And some of these things in particular, you will get to be part of a team if you're interested. That's coming. So how do we transform vision to reality? We see, first of all, a growing community. Long-term, organic, spiritual, and numeric growth is not something that we can orchestrate. You and I cannot make this happen. So this very first goal is a faith goal. It is going to be bathed in prayer, and we're asking God to guide this and direct us. Now that doesn't mean that we don't participate or that there aren't some things that we must do to bring about reality out of this vision. As individuals and as a community of a congregation, we believe God is calling us to practice bells, to share the gospel, to disciple believers to do the same. We'll get in more depth on those things in a moment. These are essential for growth to take place, but God is the one who gives the increase. God's the one that's got to motivate all this. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said this: "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how." Now remember, he's not talking about a seed. He's talking about the kingdom of God, which is the seed. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself. The earth there is the soil of our hearts that God, through the Holy Spirit, nurtures and grows the fruit out of. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle in the sickle because the harvest has come. So we are asking God to cause us to flourish. Another word for grow. So here is how the elders are going to lead us in this first major component to transform vision to reality. In 2024, Brad Johnson and myself, Pastor Len, will work together to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer at First Baptist Church of Golden. Personal and corporate prayer go before, behind, above, below. They saturate everything that we are asking God to do. It's God's work in which we participate. Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one comes to the Father. No one comes to me, unless the Father draws him." And so we're asking him, as Juan Carlos prayed for his friend, as God brought him to mind, and he just barely, several weeks later, had an opportunity to have dinner with him. That's what we're asking. We're not looking for someone to have this happen tomorrow, although it might. We're looking for our willingness to ask God to do his work and use us. Second, Kane Day and Sam will facilitate efficient and effective communication with the congregation. We just did a survey a little bit ago that helped us understand some things about how to communicate better, but they're going to do more. If you're interested in being involved in helping us make our communication better, they would be the guys to see. Juan Carlos Medeni will lead us in developing new income initiatives. There are some financial realities that we as a congregation are faced with. And so we have Juan Carlos is going to help us think through how we can use the resources God's given us or raise more resources so that we can use them for kingdom purposes. We see a growing community. That's the first major thing. But there are three characteristics that we see. The first of those three characteristics of that growing community are filled with engaged worshipers. Worship is not a spectator sport. Worship is all of us enjoying God together in community. One day, we will join our voices with people from every tribe, nation, and tongue from around the globe in praise and worship to God. This is the picture that John draws for us from Revelation chapter 7. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In 2024, I've been tasked with recruiting and training a worship leader that will help us and encourage us and challenge us to move forward with that, becoming engaged worshipers. We see a growing community of engaged worshipers and equipped leaders. And maybe you're wondering to yourself, why in the world would they just pick leaders and put that in the vision statement? Because everyone is going to be involved in all of this, but we believe that we need to grow the number of leaders that we have so that we can expand the kind of ministries we can do. And we want to make sure that we are growing leaders to strengthen us. We want to grow our current leaders, and we want to rise up and grow new leaders to assist the elders in training all the saints to do the work of ministry so that together we can accomplish the mission that God has called us to. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, Paul says it this way of leaders. He says, if God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Now, my personal paraphrase of Romans 12, 8 is if God's given you the gift of leadership, then by God lead. We need to invest in our leaders, and we need to raise up new leaders. This is how the elders will help us accomplish this. In 2024, Brad Johnson will identify and then work with the elders to multiply leaders by 1.5 times of what we have currently. And then Pastor Len, me, will work with our ministry team leaders to design a two-module leadership development process. The first module will be something that I and the elders put together called Leadership the FBCG Way. Leadership the First Baptist Way. What does it mean to be a leader here at First Baptist? What does leadership look like? And the other module will be specific to every ministry. I'll work with each ministry team leader to help them write up, craft, and design a leadership training process for their team that'll be specific for their team so that they get the most out of that training. And then we see a growing community of engaged worshipers and equipped leaders who live and share the gospel. This is where the shoe leather hits the road. This is where when we leave this place, we are ready and equipped to live the gospel and to share the gospel. The reason we exist as a church is first to know and love God and worship Him with everything we have. Remember what Jesus said to that in the answer to the response, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But it doesn't stop there. Second, we are to share the gospel with everyone, starting in Golden, with our coworkers, with our friends, with our neighbors, people around the church, and expand beyond, because the second commandment, Jesus said, is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we use bells not because it's some kind of magic formula, but because it makes it very practical in how we can begin to develop a relationship with somebody so that we'll have an opportunity to share the gospel. Bells is to bless others, to eat with others, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to learn Christ, and to be sent. When we take those 5 simple habits and bring them into our life, then we begin living a life that the way we describe it is it's a questionable life. People wonder why we treat them that way. I've had neighbors ask me why I shovel their driveway. And it's simple. Because I want to bless them because Jesus has blessed me. I want to love them because Jesus has loved me. And while I'm doing that, I'm listening and I'm praying for them. I'm trying to let the things I'm learning about Jesus become flesh in me so that Jesus gets to live his life through me. We use bells to help us grow an evangelistic lifestyle because most of us are not evangelists. But if we develop a relationship And that time comes and they ask why, guess what? We need to be ready to tell them our story, how we came to know Jesus, and to share the gospel with them. So the question we ask ourselves is, does everyone feel comfortable sharing the gospel? Then we weren't sure of the answer, but we figured, why not be prepared? And so as we look at this particular component of our vision, that's going to be one of the things that we're going to offer. A couple passages that I just want to, they'll be on the screen for a second, I think, but I'm just going to let you read those on your own. And I'm going to jump right down to the punchline because time. In March and September 2022, Trey Worley and myself will deliver a two-part training on how to share the gospel with our lives and how to share the gospel with our words. So I'd hope that you would set aside that time. Consider joining us if you're interested in being able to share the gospel with somebody more effectively.